Father, we thank you so much for your grace, Lord, and for your mercy. For, Lord, who you are and how you're working in our lives. Truly, Lord, we could search all eternity long and find none like you. So, Lord, we'll stop searching and we'll just seek you. We'll just worship you. We'll just thank you, Father. And you say that when we worship, Father, you seek us and search us. And so, Lord, we bow our hearts before you this evening and we ask that you would open our eyes that we may see wonderful things from your law. That we would see the glorious gospel, Lord, coming truth in our lives every day in that practical sense of sanctification, Father. We pray that you would work now, Lord. I pray that you would humble me, Father, and you would, Lord, you would just hide me. And you would illuminate your word so powerfully and beautifully, Lord, to your people and to my own heart. We look to you, Holy Spirit, as the teacher and the leader and the guider of this church and of your church, the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace and we thank you so much for your word that you've brought to us, preserved for us, and enabled us to read and study this evening. And I pray, Father, that you would give me the ability to read your word to your people. We thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we talked about the blind man last week in John chapter 9. How he once was blind, but now he sees. And we talked about how it was a spiritual sense of us coming to the Lord and being renewed. And how we were all blind and dead in sins and we were blind. And the Lord Jesus came to us in our state of being blind. And now we see. And how Jesus Christ was illustrating a point through this beautiful healing. And if you want to jump up in chapter 9, verse 35 with me. At this point, the blind man has been received his sight. He was born blind from birth, and now he sees, and he comes to the religious leaders and the Jewish leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, and he tells them his story, and they cast him out because he proclaims and confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, that's what the word Christ means, that he's the Messiah to come into the world. And we notice he's cast out in verse 34. Jesus heard that he was cast out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe him?" And we notice that Jesus Christ found the man after he was thrown out. We talked about it last week, and we notice one thing, that he asked, "Who is he?" Not how do I find him, or what do I do? As if you were here last week, we talked about how religion always says, "How? How is it done?" The man that was converted said, "Who is he that I could worship him?" And we find that he confesses that he's the Lord. And in verse 37, it says, "And Jesus said, 'You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you.' And he said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind.' Then some of the Pharisees, when they heard these things, when they heard these words, said to him, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, "We see," therefore your sin remains." And so Jesus Christ continues, as we cut off there last week at verse 38. He's a continuing conversation. Remember, from chapter 8 all the way through the middle, about to verse 21 of chapter 10 here is one day. Is occurrence of one day in the life of Jesus Christ. And we saw many things as we've looked at it. But Jesus says, "For judgment I've come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." And you say, what does that mean? And in fact, we look at the scriptures, and as we, even in the Gospel of John here, it says that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should have eternal life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world of sin, but that the world might be saved through him. Now here it says, "For judgment Jesus Christ has come into the world." There it says that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. And so what is Jesus Christ saying by this? We know that it isn't a contradiction in the words of Christ, but what he is saying here, and we talked about it over there in John chapter 3 when we were there months ago. A year ago. He said, This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Remember in context here, Jesus Christ is claiming to be the light of the world. John chapter 8, same day. I am the light of the world. If anyone would follow me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of everlasting life. And so he's claiming to be the light of the world. And there in John it says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love their dark deeds rather than the light. For the condemnation is this one thing, that the light, Jesus Christ, has come into this world, and men reject Jesus Christ, they will not believe on Jesus Christ, and this is the reason they're condemned. You see, the purpose of Jesus Christ to come into the world was to save man from sin. Of course it was. Clearly in Scripture, that's the purpose. Why would God become man? Become miserable to this miserable planet for one purpose, to go and to die. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give a ransom for many. To give my life a ransom for many. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world was to save man. Now the effect of Jesus Christ coming was judgment. Discernment, if you would. This isn't the same word of as there in John chapter 3, condemnation. Not to condemn and to come down on man, but to show man the light. But after man sees the light, because it says in John chapter 1, verse 7, that the light has come to every man. That Jesus is the light and he's come to every man. He's revealed his light to every single soul and to every man. Now the point comes is if we will believe in the light. You see, men and women, they run from the light because of their sin, because of their wickedness, not willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, not willing to humble themselves. This religion here we talked about last week, these men aren't willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ. In fact, they're going so far as to cast people out of the synagogue if they confess that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah of God. And so we find Jesus now in his words is saying that I've come to judge. I've come to make a discernment. As I bring forth truth to this world, people are going to have to decide and judgment is going to happen. Turn with me to John chapter 12. The same line Jesus is on. John chapter 12 verse 26. Again here he says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Again, he says it. Now this is what we need to focus on. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. My words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So what is the judgment that he's brought forth? It's the word of God. It's the truth. It's like this. When I go witness to somebody that isn't saved, my purpose of witnessing to them is definitely not to condemn them and to tell them they're going to hell and they have no hope for salvation. Oh, my heart's cry is that they would repent and turn to the Lord. Why would I waste my time? I know they're going to yell at me. I know they aren't going to like what I say when I start talking about sin and judgment and hell. But I haven't come to them to judge them. But what they think I'm doing is judging them. Hey, the Bible says don't judge. And it does say that. It means don't condemn. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you, here, there's hope. They don't hear the hope part because they're dead and blind. And you see, this is exactly what Jesus is doing. Don't you notice people, they get mad at you and say you're judging them when you witness to them? But your heart is saying, no, you don't understand. It's the same thing Jesus is doing with these Pharisees here. He's saying, for this reason, I've brought in truth, and truth will judge. It will be that those words at that very day, and it's what you will do with them. You can be judged or you can be saved. For the purpose of me coming to the world was to save man. But the effect of me coming will bring forth judgment and will divide. The word of God divides. It divides. It's a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which will divide man's heart. It judges the thoughts and intentions of man's heart. But the motive isn't to condemn. The motive is to save. But if they will not repent and turn to that, humble themselves, they will be judged and they will be condemned by the very words of Christ. And he says, so he says, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Now, what's this mean? This is confusing. And we notice that Jesus is talking about a spiritual thing here because he's going back to the blind man, relating it to him. Seeing and not seeing. So the blind man, the purpose of the blind man was to heal him, but also to bring us a spiritual truth. And here we find that the Pharisees, is who is he talking to? That's the really important thing right now, is who is Jesus talking to? Religious people. People that know the law. Now in Psalm 18, I'll turn there, or Psalm 19 verse 8, it says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye." The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the light, and the law is a light." You see, the light here in these men, they see, they've seen the light. They know the law well. They know that they need to repent. They know that they need to change and to turn from their sin. They know that they need to get right with the Lord, but they will not receive the Messiah because he will take over their authority in the people's eyes. So what we're dealing with here is pride. The fear of man. The pride of man. It's holding them back from the kingdom of God. Jesus says you must humble yourself and become like a little child to inherit the kingdom of God. You see, these men are not willing. They're casting people out. They're trying to quench Jesus. We're going to find in chapter 11 what they really do. After they see a man resurrected from the dead, how they plot to kill him, knowing, though, that he is the Messiah because of their own wicked hearts. And so these men that see, that have had the light, will not see. But those that don't know the truth, and the light comes in, and they receive it by faith, will see. That's many of me and you tonight. We've seen. We were once were blind. We could say with the blind man, "All I know is once I was blind, but now I see." And so now we see that Jesus Christ is speaking to the Pharisees. And they say in verse 41, they said, "Are we blind?" Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, "We see, therefore your sin remains." He's saying, if you were blind, if you never had the law, if you didn't understand that I was the Messiah and you weren't rejecting me, you would have no sin. Not sins, but no sin. The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. For this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love their dark deeds rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. This is the condemnation, because they will not believe on the Son of God. It says there in John chapter 3. That's the sin that they're committing here. And Jesus says, your sin remains. You see. You know the truth. You're denying it. And your sin remains. That's the sin of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, I believe. There in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, every other sin will be forgiven, man, but the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there it meaning the rejection of Christ, because Jesus said that this is the condemnation, that they will not believe on the Son of God. Every other sin will be forgiven, but that sin. That day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, we will be cast into hell if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason I believe that a man will go to hell. Now, his sin keeps him from coming to the Lord. But on the cross, Jesus Christ's blood was shed. And I definitely believe, because of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says that they denied the Lord that bought them, that the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven all man's sin. But the sin that man will not be forgiven of is rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's what I think Jesus is talking about here. And notice it keeps going. He goes on and he says in chapter 10, remember there's no chapter breaks. "Most assuredly I say to you," in the same context, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So now Jesus Christ is going right into this sheepfold thing. He's going to start talking about sheep and shepherds, about the door and the doorkeeper. And he's going to illustrate how the Father loves him and how he loves the Father and how he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. He's going to go straight into this on the context of false religion and burnt religion. And he's going to bring in new religion, if you would, or new relationship with him. You see, the blind man's in on this one with him. He's there with the Lord. Lord Jesus. So he says, most assuredly, listen up. I've got something to say, as we've learned. He's saying, okay, you guys, listen up now. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door is a thief and climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. Now, what Jesus Christ is illustrating, and they know clearly, for they have got shepherds all over the land of Israel, and they've got sheep everywhere. They know exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about. Now, a sheepfold is a place where they would bring the herds of sheep at nighttime, and that they would let them be there for protection. And there was one small door into the sheepfold that the sheep would go in, and there would be a doorkeeper, as we'll see, and there would be or the shepherd himself would be the doorkeeper. And so Jesus Christ now is going to bring this illustration in, saying that if they climb up some other way, because thieves and robbers, what they would do is the sheep would all go in, the shepherd would bring his sheep there. The sheep would be all there at night. One of the two robbers usually would come to the sheepfold, and in stealth they would come in, and one would get on the other one's back, and he'd jump over the wall, and they would slit the sheep's necks silently if they could, and start throwing them over the wall. And we'll see that in context when Jesus says that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. So we must put our mind in the place and the culture that these people are. Now, there were shepherds. They were people that took care of their sheep and loved their sheep deeply. And we'll get into it. So he says, those that climb up some other way are thieves and robbers. So there are these that are climbing up some other way that are coming in. What he's illustrating, though, for us is false religion. They're trying to come up and get into the right way of God some other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except through me. That's that one door, and he's going to illustrate it for us. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And they call, and he calls his own sheep by name, and they listen to, and he leads them out. And so what he's saying is the sheepfold, it's the religion or it's the Old Testament way that man have walked with God in the past. And Jesus says, I am the only way out of this into the new salvation, into grace itself. And Jesus Christ here is saying these other Pharisees, these other men, he's not talking about the old prophets like Moses and Ezekiel there and Jeremiah. In fact, Jeremiah and Ezekiel declare about these false prophets in detail all through their books, how they talk about how they're prophesying false things, peace and goodness and prosperity is coming, and God's saying they aren't prophesying from my mouth because destruction, misery, and not no peace is coming, calamity's coming, and famines are on the way, and they better start getting ready. But they're listening to these false prophets. And those are the thieves and robbers that are coming up some other way. But tonight what I want to focus on is the shepherd. You guys, he's a beautiful shepherd. He's one that loves us. You see, religion will never bring forth intimacy and bring forth a beautiful shepherd. The psalmist David said in Psalm 23, speaking about his Lord, it would be like if a sheep ran up to the fence. And so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he goes on to talk about his shepherd. He's bragging and boasting. The little sheep, David, as a shepherd and knows what one does what a good shepherd is, he's bragging to the other sheep about his Lord and his shepherd. You guys, it's one of the most famous quoted scriptures in the world. But I think it's one of the least believed scriptures in the world. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, if we would believe the Word of God and believe that He really is our shepherd, and we shouldn't want. It says in verse 3 here, to him the doorkeeper opens, to the real shepherd, to the right shepherd. Now, in the city, in the towns and places where people lived in the villages, there would be a main sheepfold. And there would be, as the shepherds came through the town and they had their sheep, they would all go into there, and all a bunch of different flocks were in this place, and there would be a doorkeeper that would stand watch all night, and he would be there. And so this is right now what Jesus Christ is talking about. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see, Jesus is calling people out by name. The shepherd had a very intimate relationship with his sheep. The shepherd, when he was a young boy, usually a shepherd was usually the owner of the flock he was tending to was usually his father's flock. And when he was old enough to go out, right away he would go out and start to be the shepherd. Now he would be a long time with his sheep. And his sheep knew his voice. In fact, he had a call that he would call, and his sheep would hear it, and they would come after him. That's how he would gather them together. You see, he would even have them called by name. Some of them would be called by the characters that how they are and what they do, and some because maybe they have a black spot on their foot and they call them, you know, Blackfoot or something like that. But the shepherd, it wasn't like he just had a big herd of sheep and he didn't really know them. Each sheep he knew intimately. He knew how they acted and what their character was. He was a night and day with his sheep. The Lord is painting a picture of what love can do, of what relationship could do with a true shepherd. Jesus Christ here is saying, the doorkeeper opens to me. He opens the door, and the sheep hear my voice or obey the voice. You see, thereafter the night was over, the shepherd would come to the sheepfold, and the doorkeeper knew that it was the shepherd. He'd open the door, he would go in. He would sound a whistle or a song that he had, and all of his sheep would perk their ears up, they would hear, and they would come right to him. Now, all the other sheep from all the other flocks that were in the sheepfold, they didn't hear it. It was nothing to them. They just kept doing what they wanted. And it's amazing, still in Israel today, these things are happening. I was talking to one of my friends, and he's telling me how he was there, and there was all these sheep, you know, just the herds were out there. And he saw a shepherd. He whistled out his call or he sang out his song that he had, that his sheep knew it was his very voice. And all the sheep of his popped up their heads and they all came out to him. And he says it was amazing. It was a miracle. He couldn't believe it. You see, we don't understand these things. These guys Jesus was talking about, they knew exactly what he was saying. They had no questions in their mind. And so he calls them by name because he has a name, and he leads them out. He leads them out. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by still waters. The shepherd always will lead his people. He will lead them out to greener places, and he will lead them even through the valley of the shadow of death, and they will fear no evil. Notice he doesn't drive them out. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of our souls, is a leader. He's not driving you with his rod and beating you with his staff, but he is leading you, and the sheep always are following behind. They aren't being driven by a taskmaster. And so he leads them out. And as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I find something interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's in front. He's leading me. The Bible says he can sympathize with my weaknesses, for he's been tempted in all points, just as I have been, yet without sin. You see, he knows what it's like. He's going through the valley of the shadow of death too. And I fear no evil because my Lord is with me. And that's exactly what he's saying. He leads them out of the sheepfold and he takes them to the green pastures. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know the voice of the Lord Jesus today? I ask you a question. Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord? I'm talking to us Christians. Are you led of the Spirit of God, your teacher? Are you in love with Jesus and you just understand that he's not here to beat you up tonight? He didn't call you here to convict you so hard that you could barely walk out of the place. In fact, the Lord's conviction to me is sweet. I love it. Like David said, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. You see, His rod was like a club fashion thing. And if a small sheep, usually lambs did this, the youngins, they would wander from the flock. They would continue to wander. The shepherd, as it says, Jesus says, I'll leave the 99 to go get the one. And he would always have to go get them. You know what the shepherd would do there in Israel? He would break the lamb's feet, his legs, and he would put him on his shoulders until he was healed. By the time the lamb was healed, he was so intimately acquainted with his shepherd that he wasn't going to go anywhere. You see, by his goodness, he leads me unto repentance. The Lord chastises those who he loves, and sometimes he leads me by his rod and his staff if he has to. But let me tell you, the conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ is sweet and beautiful to his children. You don't have to be scared of the Lord. Why is he convicting me? To cause me to grow and to know him better and more intimately. Sometimes it hurts. The chastisement of the Lord hurts. But let me tell you, when I truly get convicted and chastised by the Lord, and I go and draw myself to him and walk with him and repent of my sins, I find that I never want to leave him, because I find the result that sin has had upon my life and how bad it's hurt me, and I find the restoring and refreshing of his presence in my life. You guys, let God's conviction be sweet to you. Let his word draw you and his conviction of the Spirit draw you to him. Recognize his faithfulness. Recognize his grace. He is your shepherd and he's mine. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he your leader and guider? The Lord of your life? Jesus says, they follow me for they know his voice. The sweet voice of the Lord. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you know that if another shepherd comes along and tries to copy and mimic the whistle or the call that he has to draw his sheep out of the fold, these sheep will be terrified from within. Knowing somebody's trying to mimic, knowing there's somebody there and their shepherd isn't there and they are not comforted, and they will scatter. It's a truth. They scatter. They flee. They run away. They're scared. They're within. Where's our shepherd? That's not our shepherd. They know their shepherd. They know his voice. You guys, to walk with the Lord like this, and let me tell you, we're in a process of sanctification. Some of us tonight, we aren't that old in the Lord. We don't know his voice. You say, Trent, am I saved? I don't even know his voice. What do you mean? I've never heard from God in my life, I don't think. And we're looking for a lightning bolt. You want to hear from the Lord Jesus? Pick up his word. He'll speak to you all day long. Do you hear his voice? Meaning, do you take heed to the word of God? Do you read the word of God and you hear it and you obey it? For this word means to obey. They follow him because they hear the voice and they be obedient to the call. Let's go. They're obedient. They follow him. Do we hear his voice? Let's be people that tune our ears in. If you have an ear to what the Spirit has to say to the church, let him who has an ear, let him hear. You guys, we have spiritual ears if we've been born again and God has given us a spiritual insight to things. A non-believer will read this and just say, "What's this? Is ridiculous. This thing is full of contradictions. This is, what do you mean, Bible study?" And they look at you and they say, "You're going to Bible study on Thursday night? Don't you do that on Sunday mornings at church?" "Yeah, but I can't get enough. We were just studying the Bible. And you're telling me all you guys pack in that building and sweat like buckets and sit there on your rears for that long while that guy just babbles?" Yeah, I love the Word of God, and we study the Word of God. You see, those that can't hear don't understand. Like we've talked about, they're dead and blind. Yet they won't hear a stranger, for they know the voice of a stranger. There's a stranger that wants to speak to you all the time. His name's the enemy. How does he speak? Does he yell at you? "Hey, come here." No. He puts thoughts in your head. And he's always trying to speak to you. And you always know that it's him because it's scary. It's contrary. There's just something that doesn't jive in you. My spirit bears witness with his spirit that I'm a child of God. My spirit isn't bearing witness to what I'm hearing. You always know the voice of the enemy when there's confusion and frustration. You guys, hear the voice of your Father. He doesn't have a voice that's going to confuse you and bring forth frustration. Though He might have a voice sometimes of conviction, it should always be sweet. Yes, that is right, and I am wrong. And as we humble ourselves, we feel that voice of comfort, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, and grace. And so that's the voice that we hear. But these guys, they couldn't hear the voice. Verse 6 says, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which He spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, I love that He spoke again. You know, when I sometimes just don't understand, He'll still speak again if I just listen. I have that circled in my Bible. I love it. Again, He always is speaking to me again and again. He'll convict me 400 times on something until I repent. And He'll start off with sweet, small conviction, lovingly, caringly, and it will continue as I reject it and say, that's not from God. And I'll pretend like it's not the Lord. And it will get heavier and heavier. And pretty soon, like the psalmist says there in Psalm 32, I find a bit and a bridle in my mouth, and my head's jerking because He's now having to chastise me instead of leading me, and His conviction is always getting stronger, but He never gives up. It says if you're truly a child of God, He will chastise you and bring you to repentance. I love that. So He said it again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Wait. He says now He's the door. I thought He was the shepherd. How does this work? Well, when they aren't in the villages, the shepherds there, when they aren't in the villages, there's out in the pastures, there's sheepfolds, and there's these sheepfolds that are out there, and they're just empty. And as you come by as a shepherd, you bring your sheep in. Now, in the villages, they go away as the doorkeeper watches the sheep all night from the thieves and robbers trying to climb up over the walls and get the sheep. When they're out in the countrysides, in the pastures, they go to these sheepfolds, and what the shepherd will actually do is he'll lay down in front of the door of the sheepfold and sleep there. That's where he sleeps because his sheep can't get out and nothing can get in without coming over him. And Jesus is beautifully painting the picture. Now, these guys know exactly what He's talking about. It's their culture. And it beautifully is painting a picture. Most assuredly, hey, listen, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the door. Beautiful. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You see, all those false prophets, all those pharisaical people, all those religious people that came before me, Jesus Christ calls them, not I, Jesus Christ calls them thieves and robbers. Whoever it would be in our day today, it would be Buddha or Muhammad, or you can keep on going, they are thieves and robbers. I can always tell the difference between false shepherd. And will go in and out and find pastures. Now in Nehemiah chapter 27 verse 17, this going in and out is illustrating security as they're going in and out of they're having a king over them and they're having security. They're able to go freely in and out of their country. And what it speaks of for us is security. It speaks of being able to freely go in and out, following our lead of our shepherd, not worrying about the wolf, because we have a shepherd that is the door, that lays his life down. He lays there at the door in the middle of the night. He's protecting us. He's between the wolf and the flock. And he puts his body and sacrifices his body right there in the middle. I am able to be led by him. You notice this is another great I am statement of Jesus Christ. I am the door. We've seen I am the bread of life. He's our food. He's our very substance and essence. He's all that we want, all that we desire. He says, I'm the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. We see that he's the light, and if we would follow him, we shouldn't walk in darkness but have life in our lives. And now he's saying, I am the door. I am that between you and the enemy. And he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You see, here it is. Jesus Christ is the doorway into eternity. He's the doorway to the Father, and there's none other, and everyone that ever said that I can get you to heaven any other way is a thief, a robber. And we're going to see he's a liar, and he's a destroyer, and he's a killer. I don't care what anybody says. They haven't shed their blood and rose again on the third day and ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ either is crazy or he is God incarnate, God in the flesh, declaring to me and you tonight and all through eternity to all the past generations that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through him. He says, I'm the doorway. Enter through me and you will be saved. Do you see those that try to climb up their own philosophies and works and their own way will never make it? You'll find, we've talked about it many of times, every single religion today teaches man is saved by grace and works. No way. But Christianity, it teaches only by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There is no way you can get to the Father but by his blood and his grace. It teaches that man is totally depraved. Man is totally lost in sin. Man has no hope of salvation, but Jesus Christ came and shed his blood, and he has brought life into the world. It teaches we can't even come to Jesus unless the Father draws us. It teaches that the Holy Spirit is now in the world convicting man of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he's drawing people to the Lord. And Jesus said it himself, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself. And Jesus Christ is drawing them, and that point of salvation is, will you walk through the door? Will you be covered by the blood of Jesus if you would? Will you come and recognize and realize that you need salvation deeply? You need a Savior and you need a shepherd. You see, these men were not willing to recognize they are sheep, dumb sheep, and they need a shepherd. It's humbling. It's childlike faith. You will experience Jesus Christ in such a personal way as a Christian if you would be humble and receive him as a shepherd. Oh, Lord, I'm in need of you. Don't we know and don't we realize and haven't we come to the grip that nothing good dwells in us? Nothing. I cannot make a decision. Whatever decision it would be to go buy a car, go buy a couch, or pray without the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we dependent upon Jesus Christ as the shepherd? The sheep were totally dependent on the shepherd. Don't you know that we need to be people of humility and brokenness? Man, I need God. I need him, and he's there for me. That's the best thing about it. He's there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's the good shepherd. So he says, and will go in and out and find pastures. You will have security if you enter through the door of Jesus Christ, covered by his blood, and you will find pastures. My friends, if we would humble ourselves and enter through Jesus Christ and walk with Jesus Christ intimately and personally and just believe what he says is true, he loves me and died for me, therefore I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God because he did that. He loved me and died for me. And I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. I'm not going to, by my actions, not by my doctrinal beliefs, but by my actions, frustrate the grace of the living God. Because every time you're frustrated, it's because you think you can do it, or you're depending on yourself to do it, to walk with the Lord, to walk in the Spirit. And Jesus says, no, if you would let me lead you, I will bring you in and out of the sheepfold. I will bring forth security upon you in the night, darkness hours. I will bring you in the light out into the pastures, and you may feed on my faithfulness. You may feed on my word, and you may be a sheep that has a shepherd that would lead you and guide you. And he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's exactly what the thief has come to do. The thief, whatever it would be, the devil, his demonic forces, religion itself, in context, Pharisees. People that would bring forth legalistic trips on you, what are they going to do? Steal your joy. Steal your freedom, your liberty in Jesus Christ. Your liberty to be free from sin and to walk with Jesus and to let Him be your shepherd and the shepherd of your soul. They have come to do nothing but to climb over that wall, that sheepfold, to grab the sheep, to slit their necks, and to toss them out for their own gain. You see, that's exactly what the enemy and the works of the enemy through religion are doing today in this world and in this life. You see, that's exactly what's going on. Jesus Christ has come to set us free from the thief, from the killer, from the destroyer. Right here. What a beautiful statement. I have come. Oh, I like that. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The purpose of Jesus Christ is that I would have life and that life more abundantly. You guys, when will you... You say to me, Trent, let's be honest tonight. Since I've become a Christian, I haven't experienced this abundant life. All I've experienced is trials and tribulation and hell. I feel like I'm just going through torment day and night. I mean, they say, come to the Lord, peace, joy, and happiness. He'll forgive all your sins and give and heal you of whatever your problems are. Just come, you'll be happy. That's, first of all, false gospel. That's not so true. Yeah, those things are the fruit of salvation, as we've talked about. Come to the Lord, because the thief is trying to kill you, and he's going to destroy your soul in hell. And you need salvation because your sin is condemning you to hell. Come to the Lord to be saved from the wrath of God to come. And then as I come and I experience the deliverance and forgiveness of sin, I might have that life and that life more abundantly. Jesus Christ has come for the purpose to give me eternal life. And for me to experience this eternal life now and here. And I could have it more abundantly. But I will never have life and that more abundantly unless I let Him be my shepherd and my controller and my guider and my leader of my life. You guys, we need to submit to the Lord. It's not a bad thing or a hard thing. It's a freeing, beautiful, intimate, loving thing to submit to the Lord Jesus, and that I would have life and that life more abundantly. Jesus said the same thing. Anyone who thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his most inner being or out of his heart will gush torrents or rivers of living water. Jesus says, come to me and you'll have life and that life more abundantly. If you don't experience abundant life today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, my encouragement to you is to get soaked with the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. To recognize that there's nothing good dwelling in you. No, not one thing. There's nothing. You are totally bankrupt and helpless there in your flesh apart from the power of the Holy Spirit that's living in you. And unless He is manifesting and overflowing through your life, you will experience no joy and no peace and no happiness. But if you would hang on and trust in the Lord and let Him be your leader and your guider and the shepherd of your soul, if you would wash your mind with the water of the Word, if you would get intimate with Him, if you would know His voice, I want to tell you, you won't know the joy you can experience. Peter says it's inexpressible and full of glory. It is amazing and it will blow you away. This joy, my friends, is the joy from heaven. Come on, we're saved, born again. I've been delivered from sin. You think I'm going to have joy? Yes, I am. And some people aren't going to like it. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Once I was blind, now I see. I can search all eternity long, and I can find none like you. But I found you. No, actually, you found me. Came and got me, rescued me, and delivered me from my sin. And now I'm here worshiping you, and you're just here to pour out your grace and blessings upon me. And in fact, when I go away, you chastise me and it hurts for a little while, but I only grow closer to you. You have my best interest in mind. Oh, if God is for you, who could be against you? If he delivered up his own son, will he not with his son willingly, freely give us all things? If he came as a man and died, doesn't he want to bless you and fill you? Not with material blessings, but with spiritual life and depth. With intimacy with the God of creation, that you could walk around and know the living God. And he could speak to your heart and impress things in you. And he can move you and lead you and guide you. When I know this, I can just throw away all religion. What's it good for? Nothing. It's not going to get me nowhere. It's got no power in it. But I would walk in this life and that life more abundantly. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Here it is. I'm the good shepherd. Again, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. If any man would enter through me, he shall be saved. And I am the good shepherd. This word good means beautiful, in character. I am the beautiful character. The character of Jesus Christ is so beautiful and good. It is so loving to my soul. When I see my good shepherd, yes, I want to follow him. Yes, I want to obey him. He's so good and faithful. He's so full of mercy and grace. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. How do I know he's the good shepherd? Because he died for me. That's how I know. Hey, you can tell me you love me all day. Jesus Christ died for me. I know he loves me. He didn't just say, I love you, and off to heaven he went. He did something about it. He loved me and died for me, Paul says in Galatians 2:21. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and they scatter. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Now, when people had a son that maybe wasn't able to watch the flocks, or maybe they didn't have a son, or he just wouldn't do it, what would happen is they would hire somebody to help out with the flocks. But when the wolf came, what they would do is they would bail. They were getting paid and they weren't going to die for these sheep because they could care less about Blackfoot. They're just a hireling. They just want some wages. They don't care. You see, Jesus here is saying, I'm not a hireling. And I'm not getting paid for doing what I'm doing, being your shepherd. I'm doing it for one reason, because I love you. You guys, I can trust the Lord with all of my heart. Because what he has already revealed to me. Yes, who else am I going to trust? The world? Who else am I going to trust? Oh, there's nobody like him. There's nobody. The hireling will flee. People that love Jesus, and those of you that desire to be shepherds, to be people that serve God in the ministry, that want to love people, you see, you don't have to be a full-time pastor to be a shepherd. Shepherd means to take care of people, to feed them the Word of God, to stir them up for good works, to love them and care for them. Shepherd means to serve the body of Christ. Why would you do it? For money? For man's approval or praise? Or because you're motivated by love? Will you be a person that will be willing to lay down his life for God's people in service? Lay down my life, meaning I'll do what I don't want to do that others can do what they want to do. I'll pray when others sleep. When others are out playing, I'll be praying and studying that I may share with them and feed them. What would be your focus? I'm not saying this is what I do. I'm saying, this is what we need to do. I'm saying, will you be willing to lay down your life completely? I'm not saying go get shot for somebody. If you have to, go ahead. But for me to live in Christ, to die is gain. But I'm saying, will you be willing to, instead of bicker about churches and murmur about things and say, well, look at, he did that wrong and this person's doing this wrong. Will you be willing to just lay your life down and say, hey, I've come to wash the saints' feet. I'm here to serve them. Will you be willing to say, hey, God, I'm going to pray for that person and they'll never know I prayed for them. But will you be willing to labor in prayer, labor in service? Will you be willing to serve those? Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom. Will you be willing to follow the steps of Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, you have joy in that joy more abundantly. You'll have joy inexpressible and full of glory. The joy in your heart will be overwhelming because you'll be filled and anointed and led by the Holy Spirit of God. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. You will have joy, life in that life more abundantly. But if you're going around bickering and murmuring in your heart, well, or are you just going around to give? You know, we should come to church to give away, not to receive. Oh, in giving, you will receive. No question about it. The more I give, the more I receive. It's just the law of spiritual life. And so Jesus says, these guys, the wolves come, they split. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is saying, man, I have an intimate relationship with my Father and with my sheep. You guys, that's the will of God for our lives. An intimate relationship. I'll tell you, you can't fake an intimate relationship, but you can't stop one either. When somebody has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't hold the guy back. He knows God. And he's been touched by the Lord. And he's going to be like the blind man. Cast me out. I once was not blind, but now I see. He's just not going to be able to withhold and hold things back. All he can do is serve God and worship God. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and known by them. I know my Father and I lay down my life for them. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What Jesus is saying now, he's saying, hey, there's some other sheep. They're not of this fold right here, speaking of Israel, speaking of the Jews. They're the Gentiles. And I'm going to get them, and I'm going to bring them, and we're all going to be one family in Christ Jesus. Not Jew nor Greek, not Gentile nor Jew, but we're all one in Christ, Galatians chapter 3 says. You guys, we have the body of Jesus Christ. Forget about denominations, church membership. Forget it all. We're the body of Jesus Christ. Hey, if the Lord tells you to go down the church down the street, great. Praise the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Lord Jesus. Don't be bound to an establishment, but be constrained and controlled by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. We have the body of Christ, the church. Let us be free and walk with the Lord. Don't get bummed at somebody if they split and take off. Don't get mad at them. Hey, the Lord's calling them out. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Raise up new churches. Let's go, man. This world needs effective. We all sit in our little huddle in our little church. We're right here. Nobody go anywhere. Let's stay here. Let's build our congregation. Let's build our kingdom. We'll be like the Pharisees trying to build a kingdom on earth. You guys, let us be people that are free. Jesus says this one thing, though, in verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. And I take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down that I may... No one takes it from me. Where am I? No one takes it from me, but I lay it lay of myself. But I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Do you know that Jesus Christ willingly, not because he was a hireling or he was paid, but willingly he went to the cross and laid down his life and he took it up again. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it up again. And willingly, he came to the world to save man from sin, and his purpose was to come into sinful humanity that rejected him and that pushed him off, that didn't like him, and that were trying to build religion and casting him out. And he came down in the midst of it to die for those very people. Paul the Apostle was one of these men that Jesus Christ died for, just like me and you were as we rejected Christ. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For God demonstrated his own love, but Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he came down and he died for us. Do you guys know what this means? Yeah, we know the gospel that Jesus Christ, and I know it's getting late. We're going to wrap it up here in a minute, but would you think with me for a minute? The living God shed his blood at Calvary. Do you think that he loves you? Do you ever doubt his love? Look at the cross. I pray to God we would never get the cross out of the focus of our eyes, that my eyes would be fixed on the cross, on the author and perfecter of my faith. Do you understand God's sovereignty and how he took my life when I was dead in sins and he raised me from the dead in Christ? He caused me to be new and alive. He came. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to be my shepherd. He didn't have to serve me. In fact, I should be serving him for eternity. I should be washing his feet. He could have just called us all up to heaven and made us slaves and brought us into bondage like Pharaoh did with the children of Israel. But he didn't do that. Instead, he said, I'm going to go into bondage. I'm going to go into death. I'm going to go down to the lower parts of the earth. I'm going to suffer for them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to let my blood be shed for them. Oh, that one work at Calvary when he rose again from the dead. And he said, now receive my Holy Spirit to his disciples. And he sealed them with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And he says, I don't leave you as orphans, but I'm coming again. And he says, I did it all willingly. And I laid my life down by my own power and I took it up again. And we say, God doesn't love me? We need to repent. We're frustrating the grace of God. And I know your feelings don't say that, but we need to focus and think biblically. Man. And I don't know if you're gripping it like I am, but man, I could talk about it all night. Wait, he was God. And you've heard it a million times, but is it gripped in your soul? Will it motivate you for holiness and godliness? Will you see that you had no hope and you have a hope of eternity? Will you see you don't only deserve hell, and he didn't only redeem you from hell, but he's filled you now and he wants to bless you and fill you and give you life and that life more abundantly, and he wants to cause you to live holy and righteous, but the flesh is pulling us this way, the spirit is pulling us that way, and we're not willing to say no to the flesh and say yes to the Lord Jesus. We're not willing as California Christians and American people to be willing to die. To die and to let him live. To say no, I'm going to pray. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to soak myself with the scriptures. I am going to be a man that pursues God. I want to tell you, it hurts. I want to tell you, it doesn't come easy. Did the cross come easy? I want to tell you, it takes denial. What did Jesus say? Pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Lose your life and you'll find it. You guys, Jesus Christ is there and his grace is so abundant. Will we be people that do it? He's got the power for us. I can't do it. I can do nothing apart from him. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I want to tell you, for those of you that have heard what I've said tonight, it hurts. It's going to take diligence. You're going to have to say no to your laziness and your flesh. You're going to have to die to self and let him live. I want to tell you that you serve the same God as Moses did. I want to tell you, you serve the same God that parted the Red Sea. I want to tell you, you serve the same God that Spurgeon did. And all the great men of old. What, has he changed? Is he dead because they died? We exalt them. Why don't you exalt the Lord? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd of your soul. He's the one that as we've entered through, we may have life and that life more abundantly. He's the one that willingly came down as a man and laid his life down and picked it up again and rose from the dead. And he's now even at the right hand of God making intercession for the saints. He's there. And he's left me not an orphan nor alone, but he's left me with something even better. His very third person of the Trinity, his very nature and personality, the divine nature is living in me to drive me and to move me. And you say, what's the problem then? I'll tell you what the problem is we will not submit to him. We will not let him be our shepherd. We will not walk with him. And we will not say, yes, hey, studying God's word and praying is more important than watching TV and filling my flesh. And we say, that's legalism. I'd say, you don't have to do it. You're going to be miserable watching TV. If you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll never go back. I want to tell you, the word of God is living and powerful. The TV isn't. You're missing out on life. You're missing out on God himself. You're saying flesh, great. Jesus Christ, the cross, thank you for dying. We'll use the grace of God for an opportunity or a cloak for the flesh. That's what we're saying. And not in mouth, we would never say that. In action. If you disagree with me with doctrinal points, I don't care what we disagree with, we'll agree with this. Man, we need to die and let him live. I want to tell you that my spirit just worships when I'm dying to the flesh. I want to tell you that I'm just singing in my heart. Man, my flesh is dying and it's hurting, but my spirit is saying, yeah, let it rain, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, this is life. I want to tell you, fear of man is gone. I want to tell you, the things that are used to hinder me, the sin that had control me, I've got power over, because the Lord Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is in full control of my life. Does the Word of God speak truth or a lie? It says we have the divine nature. Go home and read 2 Peter chapter 1 and ask yourself, is that a lie or true? And then just do it and watch the Lord Jesus Christ move through you. He says, I've received this commandment from my Father. This is the commandment we've received tonight from our Father. Jesus said, therefore, there was a division again. Notice again, chapter 7, verse 43, chapter 9, verse 16. There was two other divisions. Jesus Christ always brings division. He's going to bring division between your spirit and your flesh. He brings division. Man, I don't like some things Jesus says. They hurt. He brings division. What side of the camp will you be on? You can say tonight, as these Jews, because of these sayings, this division happened. Verse 20, and many of them said, he has a demon and he's mad or he's insane. Why do you listen to him? Tonight you can say, hey, Trent, you're mad. Bro, that's not what the Bible's saying there. Bro, you're crazy. You got a demon. You can say that and go off and say, well, I don't believe with that. I don't agree with that. And you know what? You'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You'll never know the joy of the Lord. You'll never walk with him personally and know him intimately. I don't care what you say about me. You can call me mad all day. This is the word of God. They called Jesus mad. They said he had a demon. There was others said, there are not the word. These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I'll tell you, these aren't the words of a man that has a demon. He's changed my life. I was once blind, but now I see. He's opened my eyes. These words are very powerful and real. I ask you tonight, have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? For those of you in this room tonight that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that could say with me right now, if you stand in front of the great white throne of judgment, you stand in front of God Almighty, and he's standing there, can you honestly say with me that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and no question of mine, my mind, I am saved by the complete blood and grace of God. No question. And I will be pleased to stand there because of what he's done. And I can't wait, in fact, because he's going to usher me into eternity. I'm just excited for me to live in Christ, for me to live, and to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you can't say that with me tonight, you have a deep decision to make. You need to enter through the door of Jesus Christ to be saved. Because if not, I encourage you to take the Bible and read through the four Gospels. See what Jesus Christ has to say about hell. It's a serious matter. He talks about it a lot. I'm not just making it up. It's serious. These are issues that are very serious. Most important decision you could ever make. And I'm not saying, are you in religion? I'm not asking you, have you been in the church? I'm asking you, have you entered through the door of faith to Jesus Christ? Have you walked with Him? Are you His sheep? Is He your shepherd? Is He the Lord of your life? You see, I'm not into this believing thing without lordship. Jesus says, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. Now, I'm not just saying confess, because the Bible says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Confess means to say, yes, He's Lord, and I'm going to let Him be the Lord of my life. Is He ruling and reigning your heart? If He's not, you're missing out. You're missing out on knowing God intimately. And you're going to not miss out on hell itself. Because that's what it's awaiting for you. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a prayer room right off to my right, your left. The door over there, and I encourage you to go through that door and to get prayer. Do it because you are going to decide that you need Jesus. You say, I can't. You don't understand. I've tried it. I've been in the church my whole life. I want to tell you that if you surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus, you confess and recognize you can't do it and you need His help. And the Bible says whoever calls, and that calls a call from the heart, that calls a complete of help. Oh Lord Jesus, whoever calls upon in the name of the Lord Jesus, he will be saved. If you would say, God, have mercy on me and help me with my weaknesses and my sin and my failure. I need you to have salvation in my life. I need you to convert me and change me. I'm against you and I'm wicked. And if you would confess it, I promise you salvation. I don't promise you, the Word of God does. And I tell you right now, and I'll tell you tonight, you guys are my friends and I love you. And I thank you for enduring through all my teaching that goes on for hours and hours and hours. But the Lord Jesus Christ has something to speak to you. You guys, tonight you can decide, Christian or non-Christian, I'm going to get real with the Lord. I promise you. Get up early in the morning. Open up His Word. Spend an hour with God. Spend whatever time with God. Spend time with Him. You'll meet Him. You'll hear His voice. You will be blown away at what He can do in your life. Let's pray. Father, our deepest hearts cry in prayer. God, is more than being theological, Lord, though we do desire to be very doctrinally correct. More, Father, than being the great street witnessers and on fire church, Lord, our heart's desire is that we would never lose our first love. Lord, we walk intimately with You. Oh, God, we know when we do that, all things work together for the good. We know that we will be, Lord, on fire.